Hello, hello, friends, and welcome into the Cold Case Cafe. I'm your host, Mark.
And I'm Paulina.
Welcome into episode 5. Paulina, do you want to make $10 million?
Yes.
Then solve this crime that we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
The largest property crime in the history of the United States and maybe the world.
I've never heard about this.
Any coffee for us today or no?
Well, do you see coffee in front of you?
Nope.
So, no.
Okay, fine. I guess we're moving away from the coffee. With that being said...
Okay, guys, it's like almost 8 p.m. right now.
Yeah, 8 p.m. We're recording late today. Bedtime would be 3 a.m. if we had coffee right now.
Exactly. But I did get you a cookie today, though.
You did give me a cookie. A big cookie.
From where?
She went to dinner. I'm sitting at home waiting to record, reading my notes over and over, waiting for her. Time's ticking. 8 p.m. She finally shows up with a huge cookie. Can't complain. From Levon,
yes.
I think it's pronounced. A French? Is it French?
I don't know.
Pretty good. Really good. What's, I'm all hopped up on sugar now, though, so I'm ready to go.
What's the rating?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
8.4.
Okay.
Very, very strong cookie.
Okay. I'm not going to ask any further questions.
So. Okay. With that being said... It's time for our
theme song.
We're not doing our traditional intro today to this case. I'm going to give you a little history lesson because you need some context before we just get into the case, okay?
All right.
Do you know who Isabel Stewart Gardner was?
No.
Okay.
You know history is not my strong suit.
Okay.
That's my least favorite subject.
We'll make this quick and painless then. She was a... 19th century philanthropist and a big art collector. And typically when I research these like people that were alive like 200 years ago, I don't know why they all seem like mean to me. They all seem like they were mean people. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know why. When, like, I think it's the way their pictures were taken or the portraits were taken of them too. They look mean because none of them smile in the picture, in the portraits. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No one's smiling. Like today, if you go on someone's Instagram, it's like, oh man, they look so happy. They're smiling. They have a nice dog. But from the research I've done, she was actually a very great person. She loved animals. She had a bunch of dogs. But she was known for, like we said, her art collection. She had probably one of the greatest art collections in the world. In 1903, she opens up a art museum called the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. And she actually lived there until she died in 1924. After she died, she left the museum $3.6 million in endowment, pretty much to let them use that money to upkeep and maintain the museum. And she left 15,000 individual pieces of art in the museum. So this is a huge museum in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And this museum is still around today. Still a very popular place. It has some of the greatest artworks in the world. One of her wishes was that whoever is maintaining the museum, they cannot add or take out any of the pieces that she had in there. So she wanted to keep it just like she had it in its original state. Obviously, different styles of art come and go, but she wanted to keep it the way that she had it because she spent pretty much her whole life collecting that art and it was very special to her.
Yeah.
Now we fast forward to 1990, March 18th. Okay. 1:20 a.m. There's a 23-year-old guard stationed at the guard, we'll call it the Garden Museum, and his name is Rick Abbath. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting, it's night shift, obviously there's no one in the museum, it's just him and one other guard. The other guard is kind of patrolling around, walking around the museum, and he's stationed in like the control center where he can see where the cameras, like what's going on, and they kind of take turns going back and forth. He gets a buzz at the intercom, and there's a camera at the intercom. He looks at the screen in front of him, and he sees it's two police officers. It was actually St. Patrick's Day, the day before. So parties were still going on. It was still very wild. People out jumping up and down the streets, drunk, hooting, hollering, whatever else. So he thinks, oh, probably someone tried to climb the gate of the museum or whatever it is. So the police are here. And the police tell him that they have received a report of a disturbance at the museum. And they have to be let in to check it out. Now, he's not supposed to let anyone into the museum per protocol. Even police officers. But he lets them in anyway. Ooh. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they go up to him. And they say, hey, I think there's a warrant out for your arrest.
What?
Please get out of the little station he's sitting in the museum, right? Like, you know how there's like a little control center?
Yeah. Where
it's like a little guard desk. So he gets up. He walks towards them. They handcuff him. And right before they handcuff him, he actually called the other guard down because they asked him, like, hey, can you call whoever else is here? Calm down. There's only two guards. The other guard comes, they handcuff him too. And they're like, hey, what are we getting arrested for?
Yeah. It's just funny to me how they didn't ask that before they actually got handcuffed.
But, I mean, he's 23 years old and the other guard was 25 years old. The other guard's name was Randy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're relatively young and inexperienced. Yeah. Like, if you're a 50-year-old guard, you've been doing that for 30 years, you probably won't act this way. And this will play in later into the story, but... And the funny part is, he actually sees that one of the guy's, like, mustaches is kind of falling off his face.
Because both the
police officers have mustaches, quote-unquote police officers, and one of them's, like, kind of falling off.
Oh, my God.
So these guys, the guys that went into the museum, they say, you guys are not under arrest. This is a robbery. So they tie him up with duct tape. They take him down to the basement of the museum. Uh-huh. And they kind of tie him to, I think it was like a steam pipe and like something else in the basement of the museum. They like tie him up so they can't get up. Mm-hmm. It takes them like around 15 minutes to tie him up, get him downstairs. The only way the police could have been called at this point was a button at the security station that Rick was taken from. Okay, so no one can call the police. They're tied up. These two thieves can do whatever they want with the museum at this point. No one has the ability to call the police. Mm-hmm. At 1:48 a.m., so this is right around like 20 minutes after they entered, the way the museum is set up, it had some security protocols. And one of the things it had was sensors that tells pretty much the security desk or whoever needs it if there's movement in any of the rooms. So it tells you like, hey, we just noticed movement, and there's different rooms or have different names in the museum. One of the rooms is called the Dutch Room. Mm-hmm. And it's on the second floor. And 1:48 a.m. is when they actually enter this room. I'm not sure if you've heard of some of these painters.
Yeah.
I think you will. You know, have you heard of like Rembrandt?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like one of the most famous painters in history. They take a very valuable painting called The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. And then they take also another painting called A Lady and Gentleman in Black, and they kind of go through these rooms. And these paintings might not mean much to you, but some of them are worth like $300 million today. It's really insane. And we'll kind of just go through like a quick list of things they took. So they didn't just take paintings. They took like these little sketches. They took some Degas sketches. You know, have you heard of Degas? Very famous mm-hmm. painter. They took like this Napoleonic flag thing from the French Revolution era. It's like a little golden flag, which some of the stuff they took was not worth much at all. They took like an ancient Chinese gu, which is like a little vase. There was much more valuable art than these little objects in the museum. So police in their investigation think that they were not experienced art thieves. They were just like random guys initially, because they clearly missed some of the most valuable paintings in mm-hmm. the museum, but they also did take some very valuable ones as well. The most valuable painting that they take is called The Concert, and it's by Vermeer. In my research, I think Vermeer only had like 34 known paintings attributed to him, so this is like extremely valuable. And this is the painting that's worth today probably around somewhere $300 million-ish dollars.
Jeez.
Okay. They stay in the museum until 2:45 a.m. They take a total of 13 items. They go in and out twice, bringing those items into their car and back in to get more, into their car and back in to get more. And the last time they recorded was at 2:45 a.m. This is the last time that they were seen. So the whole robbery lasted around 81 minutes. Keep in mind, it's 2:45 a.m. The guards are still tied up. and there's no one coming to save them. Police have not been notified. So the only way that they figured out there was a robbery was next morning when the morning shift guards came in. They're like trying to buzz in and no one's answering. And they call the security director. The security director comes with a key. He opens the door. There's no one at the security desk. Like, what the heck's going on? They walk around the museum and they find them in the basement tied up. This was like at early morning hours. This is hours after the robbery occurred. Mm-hmm. So the police were already at a disadvantage. I mean, the thieves were already a few hours ahead. Now, this was 1990. So obviously, the security systems at the museum weren't as developed as the ones we have today, almost 35 years later. But the museum did, in 1988, they got like a security expert to come in and just take a look and just give them some advice in terms of, obviously there's like billions of dollars worth of art in there. Just advice in terms of like, how can we make this place more secure? And the museum did have some financial troubles throughout the years as well. So that's also another reason that they didn't have the like state-of-the-art security systems. But they did have 60 infrared monitor detectors. They had a CCTV system where it had four cameras outside of the building, kind of tracking who's coming and going. But the security manager, what he told them was, if you want to make this place obviously even more secure, you'll need to add CCTV cameras inside the museum. And also, you need to pay guards a little bit more. So they were paying these guards like a little above minimum wage. So they can only attract really these younger, inexperienced guards, you know? And that's part of the reason. That's one of the flaws here. The FBI takes over the investigation immediately, since they assume that the artwork was taken across state lines. They look for any DNA evidence. It's unknown still, almost 35 years later, if there was any DNA evidence, but they find fingerprints, they find footprints, they find all kinds of stuff. But keep in mind, this is a museum. Mm-hmm. So,
like
it could there's be been like thousands of people there probably in that past month, you know?
Yeah.
A few witnesses did see the culprits outside at around 12:30 in a red hatchback. And they were dressed as police officers, so they assumed they were police officers. So no one really reported anything.
Yeah.
One of them was described as being around 5'9 to 5'10 in his late 30s with like a medium build. And the other one was like 6 foot or 6'1 in his early 30s with a heavier build. So kind of just your average guys. And they didn't wear masks or anything. Like the guards saw their faces and everything. So
just
they
the fake mustache going
the
on.
The fake mustache was falling off, but they still saw his face. Mm-hmm. First, I feel so bad for this guy, but the police starts looking into the guard that was at the security desk, 23-year-old. And the reasons that they investigated him was, earlier that night, he actually briefly opened and closed a side door to the museum. And some thought that he was signaling the thieves when he was doing this, but he told authorities that he did this routinely just to make sure it was locked. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't out of the ordinary to open and close that door. But some people said that, hey, if he did this routinely, that was against like museum security policy. And his supervisors most likely would have told him to stop doing that. So if he did that routinely, it's unclear if he did it routinely or not. But that was one of the things they pointed to. The other thing that they pointed to was, remember how we said there was those motion detectors?
Yeah.
Well, one of the motion detectors was in the blue room in the museum. And a painting called the Shit Tortoni was taken from there. But there was no movement at all on the motion detectors detected at all. However, they did detect this guy, Rick, the security guard, walking there during his like nightly walk around. A little bit before the robbery took place. Some people thought that maybe he turned off those motion detectors. In 2015, the FBI also released a security video from the museum on a night before the theft, showing that Rick actually let an unidentified man into the museum at the security desk. And they asked him, like, hey, who was this guy? Like, why'd you let him in? He says, I don't remember that at all.
Interesting.
But then later on, some other guards said that that was actually a deputy security chief of the museum. That's why he let him in. So this really didn't go anywhere. The sad thing is, this guy Rick actually passed away a few weeks ago at only 57 years old. Yeah. So
wow, 57. That's very young.
Yes. When this took place in, 34 years ago, he was only 23. So he was like just starting his career.
Oh, that's so sad.
The FBI actually tracked him for years just to make sure there was nothing out of the ordinary in terms of money he was getting from anywhere. And they didn't really see anything in the last 34 years at all. So it doesn't really look like he was involved in any capacity. Mm-hmm. Which I think kind of sucks. I mean, you're 23 years old. You see, like, police officers it's a obviously St. Patrick's Day, there's parties going on, police come, and you're like, okay, they're probably just going to come in and check it out or ask me a question or two, and he lets them in, and then they lose $600 million. That's like,
yeah,
that sucks. And like your whole life, you're probably known for that mostly, you know, and I'm sure he felt terrible. But then again, if the museum is, if you're hiring a 23-year-old to protect billions of dollars of art, then that says a lot about you, right? If you don't have some experience there protecting that much art, imagine if it was just cash. If you had like $1 billion in cash sitting in a room, and you're like, who should protect this cash? I'm gonna get a 23-year-old that's inexperienced, and you know, and you know what? I'll pair him up with a 25-year-old. Well, I mean, they're kind of close to our age, but I'm saying, like, I wouldn't trust us with guarding $1 billion.
Yeah, no.
Would you?
No. I guess back then, just didn't think about stuff.
And
like
you're
that.
Paying, you're getting paid slightly above minimum wage.
Yeah.
So these guys actually, there were security tapes, like we said, but they actually took them out of the wherever they were getting recorded, and they smashed them before they left. So a lot of the data was actually lost there too. The FBI then starts looking into some of the Boston area mafia people. And have you heard of Whitey Bulger? No? He was like a very well-known Boston gangster, and he actually died in jail a few years ago. But they looked into him. They thought that he had some connections to the Irish Republican Army and that he may have sold them the art. But they really couldn't establish any real tie to that. So that kind of hit a dead end. But in 1994, now this is interesting. The museum director at the time was Anne Hawley, and she gets an anonymous letter from someone who claimed that they want to negotiate the return of the artwork. They explain that they're just a third-party negotiator, and they don't know who actually took the artwork, but they want to get it back for the museum. They explain that the artwork was actually taken to reduce a prison sentence, so someone like stole it and said, hey, we'll give it back to you if you reduce this prison sentence for someone. But as that opportunity passed, they no longer had a motive to keep the art, so they wanted to give it back to the museum. They wanted $2.6 million for the return of the artwork. And they said if the museum was interested in negotiating, they should print a quoted message in the Boston Globe newspaper. And they kind of provided some information that only the FBI and the museum knew at the time, so that wasn't public. The director at the time, Anne Hawley, she thought like this was pretty legit, so she contacts the FBI, and they contact the Boston Globe. And they get a second letter a few days later in which the writer actually acknowledges the museum was interested in negotiating. But then they say they need some time to think about their options, and they never hear from this person again. So it seemed like this was pretty legit. They knew some information. Obviously, the director, if she was this adamant about contacting the FBI and thinking it was this legit, they must have known something. Mm-hmm. But this has a dead end too. And the police look into a con man called Brian McDevitt. And he actually planned to rob another museum in New York called the Hyde Collection in 1981. He dressed up as a FedEx driver and was carrying like handcuffs and duct tape and was planning to steal another Rembrandt painting, but he was caught. They interviewed him in the late 1990 and nothing really came out of it. But this case really isn't unsolved, and you'll see why I say that. In 2013, the FBI reports that with a high degree of confidence, they have identified who the thieves are. And they also said with that same confidence, they think that the artwork was transported to Connecticut and Philadelphia in the years following the theft. And someone tried to sell it in 2002. So they get all this information. This information that they're releasing, they're not really giving detail. They're just saying this stuff. And then in 2015, they actually say that the people who took the artwork are two dead Boston area criminals, George Reisfelder and Lenny DiMuzio. They never publicly say why.
Interesting.
They both died, I think, within a year after the theft. One died of like overdose and one was shot to death, I believe.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
And the FBI does say they're both dead. These guys were like part of, there was like a crime syndicate called the Merlino Gang in Boston, and they were like associates with them. But with crimes like this, there is a statute of limitations, and it expired in mid-1990s. So even if they find out who it was today, let's say that these guys are still alive, you can't charge them with this crime.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it now.
Which is weird to me, because The museum is offering currently a $10 million reward for information leading to the recovery of the stolen works. So if you can't get prosecuted for it, it would make sense to just give back the artwork and get $10 million. Right? Mm-hmm. And no one has spoken up at all about the artwork. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Makes so it's been 34 years?
I don't know.
Like, what do you do with it, though? Where do you store? The thing about this artwork, and I'm not an art expert, but paintings that are like 500 years old, they need to be kept at very specific.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
In a very specific climate.
They need to be preserved.
Yeah, exactly. They need to be treated like once in a while. Otherwise, they just degrade and they become, like waste away.
That's what I was wondering. Like, did they just waste away or like, did they destroy them maybe?
The thing is, a lot of these paintings, they cut from the frames. So they weren't like some sophisticated art thieves where they're like going in with gloves and they're just cutting these artworks out, and these are like $300 million artworks. Like, it's not like a random painting that someone did. So that's why the FBI thinks it's probably not like an art expert thief that's going in there like Mission Impossible style. You know, it's mostly just like some random gangsters that are trying to make a quick buck. But yeah, 34 years now, the FBI says they know who did it. The artwork is still nowhere to be found. The museum still holds like the frames of the artwork on the walls, mm-hmm. empty, just as like a sign of the missing artwork, and also as hope that they would come back eventually.
That's sad.
And it's still a very popular museum. Tons of people go there. It actually gained some popularity after the theft as well. People want to see even the empty frames because they have some history behind them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, with this case, the artwork has to be stashed away somewhere. Maybe a warehouse or like someone's basement or something. And I mean, if you think about it, you can't get prosecuted for it. You can just give it back. You get $10 million. There has to be a reason why these people are, maybe they're involved in some other stuff and they won't. I don't think it was an inside job. I don't think the security guards had anything to do with it. And it's funny, the FBI said that they were too, I think they said they were like too incompetent and foolish to have committed the crime.
Yeah.
The guards.
It's just like the guards that they're incompetent to pull this off.
That's what they said. Like an FBI agent said that they were too incompetent and foolish to have like been part of the planning for this.
Yeah, I mean, they're very young and they saw the mustache thing falling off.
Mustache's falling off, guys walking in.
But I mean, I don't blame them. Like they're very young, probably got scared.
Yeah, I mean, he did break protocol. You know? Rick wasn't supposed to let anyone in.
Yeah.
But still, I mean,
like, you never know how you're going to react job, in the moment.
And some mistakes cost $600 million, some cost 10 cents. You know? Like, if you print something wrong at your job and it costs your company 20 cents, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Some mistakes are just a billion times worse. The museum is still looking for, they've been increasing their reward. First it was $1 million, then it was like $5 million up until 2017. Now it's $10 million. Maybe it'll increase in the future as well. This artwork is worth like $600 million at this point. Even more. Yeah. I've seen some estimates. One of the paintings, like we said, the concert by Vermeer, is worth on its own possibly over $300 million. It would never be sold, obviously, because the museum keeps all their artwork. But think about what the actual value of all the... There's 15,000 pieces in there. And this is just 13 that were worth $600 million. So there's billions and billions of dollars worth of art in there. And I think today they have a very robust security system. After this, they implemented a very robust security system, obviously. And they haven't had any incidents at all after. This is the largest property crime in U.S. history.
That's crazy.
And the concert, the artwork I keep talking about, it's the highest valued item that's ever been stolen and is still currently missing in the world. Think
about
that.
What's your theory? Where stashed?
I think gangsters took it. They probably tried. The thing is, you can only sell it to other criminals because if you're like a serious art collector and someone tries to sell you the concert, they're gonna be like, you stole that painting, you know. So I think it might be stashed. Maybe it's like at some oligarch's man cave hanging up and then only his buddies see it or something. But it could also just be stashed away collecting dust somewhere, which kind of sucks losing that much.
Imagine like you spend a lot of time and money into like building this art
collection. The worst for Isabella,
and somebody goes in and takes them. A huge chunk of your life just collecting and building this artwork just for it to be stolen and never seen again. I feel bad for Isabella.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly feel the worst for Rick, the security guard.
Yeah, I feel really bad for him too.
Because he was put in a tough spot. What I read was some other museums in that area, they had a system where they would call the police once an hour to check in. Just say, hey, everything's going fine. So if they didn't check in, then the police know something's wrong. And if this museum had that, they possibly could have caught the people way earlier. Did you see some of the art there?
Yeah, I did.
What's your favorite piece that was stolen?
Let's see. I like the landscape with an obelisk.
Rembrandt. Mm-hmm. That's not Rembrandt. Sorry, no, that's Flink.
Colbert. Flink.
Yeah, Flink.
Is that how you pronounce his name? Colbert? Flink?
I'm familiar with his work, but yes.
It's really beautiful.
I like the Rembrandt. Do you see that?
Which one?
That's his only seascape that he's ever... And that's worth like $150 million or more today.
The portrait of an artist as a young man. Is that the one?
No, that's a sketch that he did. It's the one of the boat in the sea.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's a very beautiful painting.
And the concert. That one's worth $300 million. It's kind of a... I don't know. Some artworks, like you look at it, you're like, that's worth $7 trillion? But then some people were in art like, yes, you see the shadow there and how the emotion plays on the face there and how supple this and this. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. It's just two lines.
You're shaming artists?
No, I'm not shaming artists. I am an artist.
How?
I used to paint. Not well.
You never.
I did. I have painting stuff in my house. I drew the Scream.
The what?
The Scream. Munch? You don't know that painting? The Scream?
Oh!
What'd you think? What'd you think I said?
Yeah, I know which one.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone drew that as a kid, though. Like
I drew in high school.
Yeah, like...
I got made fun
not,
of for
it's not
it.
A hobby that you've had.
You know what this one girl said in my class when I drew it? She looked at it for like 2 minutes. She's like, is that the Scream? I'm like, yeah, if it took you that long to figure it out, then it's not. Yeah. This is an interesting case though, right?
Yeah. I like these different types of cases.
You and said you wanted a heist, and we got a heist.
Yeah. This one is different though, because I guess it kind of got solved and who did it, but...
Then again, they can't be 100% sure unless you convict someone, right? You can say if they did it, but they're dead, so you have no final say if they did it or not. It has to go to the courts. Which is interesting too, but it's these guys, it sucks. They do this heist and they die right away. They couldn't really even enjoy if they got anything out of let's say they got like a 10% cut of whatever proceeds there were, whatever it is. They just kind of died right away, which is, yeah, poor Rick, and he passed away. Rest in peace. Passed away a few weeks ago. And he maintained his whole life that he had no involvement at all.
Good for him for standing his ground.
Yeah. Hope he had a good rest of his life. So, our dear listeners, if you guys can solve this case, we'll take a... If this is the first time of you hearing this prize, we'll take like 10%. 5? 10?
Check your grandparents' basement.
Yeah, check your grandparents' basement. If you see... A boat, a painting with a boat. No, actually, if you see a painting of a lady playing a piano with a guy sitting facing towards her and another lady like near them, it could be worth $300 million.
So...
Honestly, just sell it. I'm kidding. No. This is the contact information. It's Anthony Amore. He's the director of security at the Gardner Museum. 617-278-5114. reward@gardnermuseum.org. How many people do you think are writing into this?
I don't know. Not a lot, in my opinion.
No?
No.
I think there are a lot of people just messing around. Like, hey, I got the art. Imagine finding it, though.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, you buy an old house. Someone moved out. You walk in. You're like, you know, I remember when we bought our house, like, when I was younger. The people left some stuff in the house. Like, teddy bears, all this, like, random stuff. Imagine you go to, like, the basement. It was, like, a very, very, very old home. It's like run down. You walk into the basement. It's all musty. Cobwebs everywhere. And you see like this, these few pieces of rolled up paper in the corner. You open them up. Is that the concert? Oh my God. Is that a Rembrandt?
Personally, I feel
the Chinese
that
goo?
If that was me.
Oh my God. An eagle. What would you do?
I think that it takes a real art connoisseur to know the value of that painting. I feel like it was just, if it was a regular person, they probably wouldn't know unless they searched it up. But
they toss it.
Imagine.
Like, what are these old paintings doing here? Now that you know the value, though, what would you do? Would you give it back for the $10 million? Would you sell it to underground criminals for more?
Is this going to incriminate me?
Do you have the art?
No.
Okay.
I would just give it back to the museum.
And take the reward?
Yes.
You're not selling it to underground criminals for more?
No.
Me either. I would do the same thing. I would just give it back. Take the $10 million. And
yeah.
I wonder if this is anyone like actively just working on this every single day trying to find it. Because it's $10 million. So if you take like, let's say you take 2 years out of your life and you devote every single day to finding that art. You think there's anyone doing that? Like there's like art. There's like treasure hunters out there, right? That are looking for like sunken ships and stuff like that. So there's, do you think there's anyone actively looking for this every single day?
There's probably.
Yeah.
I think.
But it's, if it's stashed somewhere, you can't really do much. What are you going to go to every single house in the, on the East Coast and in Ireland where some people thought it was? No.
Yeah, who knows?
I hope they find it, honestly. Strange case. And when they find it, we'll go to the Gardner Museum. We'll go check out the art. But I'm not going until they find it.
There you go.
With that being said, largest heist U.S. history has been covered now. You enjoyed the episode. And we'll see our dear listeners on the next
episode.